You, we ask you this day to speak again for us. Speak a word of hope. Speak a word of peace. And most of all, a word of love. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. So you know that you could hear me, because I am projecting more than I normally project. Because, you know, when we can't hear ourselves, okay. And we don't know that how loud it is. So we'll have to really test out if something has happened to get our mics straightened out. But with my preacher voice, you could hear me up at 106. Praise God. That's the way to be. So anyhow, here we are today, and this is our first Sunday in Lent. And my sermon title today is, The Word is Near You. The Word is Near You. And I'm going to focus on Romans, but I'd like to, of course, bring in the gospel first, because certainly it is about the journey of Jesus Christ. And I read this reflection. It is called Spring Cleaning for Lent. And the writer says, when I was a boy, I was told, Baptists don't do Lent. You know, a lot of the churches that we are very liturgical, we are Protestant, and so we remember, we talk about Lent and Advent. Their denominations and churches, they preach the word, they're in the Bible, but this piece of the tradition of the early church, folks don't understand that this is not in the Bible, the word Lent or Advent. It just comes out of the scripture from the early church so that we could remember and celebrate these times. So the article says, when I was a boy, I was told Baptists don't do Lent. No one knew why. I suspect it was an anti-Catholic thing, which I pray we are over. We are now over. It was the old argument, whatever they do, we don't. A curiously convoluted, twisted, and unhealthy way to decide on religious practices. Whatever the reason for not doing Lent, I think it is a great loss for any Christian not to prepare for Good Friday and Easter. Every spring, the baseball players prepare for the season with spring training. Every spring, ordinary people prepare for summer by doing spring cleaning, don't we? So why shouldn't Christians prepare for the most important events in Jesus' ministry? What he did was what he did for us on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, what he did for us on Golgotha's cross and on the empty tomb, helps us to think about what God has done for us. And so we need to remember at all times and in all places, the writer says, to remember that the Lord had died for us. This week, as we look at the gospel, we see Jesus getting ready for the most important mission of his life. And so the writer reminds us, it helps you and me think of Lent as a kind of Christian spring training and spring cleaning. So folks, this time during Lent, we are doing spring cleaning and spring training on our hearts. We are cleaning things up. And unless what we've been doing is perfect, then we don't have to worry about it. But for those of us who are not perfect, we have to do some work, don't we? We have to do some cleaning. We have to change the curtains and dust the rooms and open up the windows and let the air and the sun come in, spring cleaning. And here we are in this gospel narrative. We see Jesus in going through this journey. And some writers will say that we shouldn't equate the 40 days in the wilderness with just, you know, because we are going through a Lenten discipline and it's just about not eating chocolate and so on and so forth. As I said on Ash Wednesday, it is not a diet plan, right? It is not, Lent is not a time of just worrying about what we're, our diets. And if we don't eat chocolate and we don't eat ice cream, we're going to lose 10 pounds. or 5 pounds, or whatever we want to lose for 40 days. I mean, that's it. We would be happy if that's the end result, isn't it? That's a human thing, but that's not what it's about, right? It is about a heart that is seeking Christ and a heart that is going to be changed. Lent. And so I explained last week on Facebook Live that the whole idea of 40 days of Lent for people who don't do Lent. I've got comments from people, they don't know what Lent is about because they are not in churches like ours. And there are people in our churches who don't know what Lent is about either. They've been coming many years and don't get understand. It is that the early church, we try to commemorate, as I said, and we do 40 days. 40 days because 40 days were the number of days Jesus was in the wilderness. You just heard the text read, right? 40 days in the wilderness and that he would be tempted by the devil. So there are two main characters, or really there could be four characters, because there's going to be Jesus, there's going to be the devil, then there's going to be the angel, and there's always God. And this is going to be, this thing is like a play that is going to work out, that is going to come together, and Jesus is going to be in the wilderness during this time. And so as we have seen in the Bible, we have already been introduced to Jesus in Luke's gospel. First, we know that he is the Son of God. We see that in Luke 3:38, who will bring salvation to the Jews and Gentiles. And we see that Jesus is baptized, and the scripture tells us that right after his baptism, both in Luke and Mark, he was baptized at how old? 30 years old. He is driven into the wilderness. So I would like to submit to you, Jesus is going to be tested before he's going to begin his earthly ministry. His Galilean ministry. His ministry is going to begin, but he's going to go to a testing, and he's going to be tempted by the devil before he begins. So friends, there are many times when we are going through stuff, it's not always that the devil is bringing us through. There are times when the Lord is what? Testing us. Do you know that? I think my mic is up now, you can hear me. The Lord is testing us also. Alright? It's not everything that happens to us is that the devil is. There are times that we're allowed to go through stuff that, you know, we always say this doesn't happen and the devil did this. Why is the devil doing this to me? I think there are times when we should be asking the Lord, you know, what can I learn from this? You know, what is going on, Lord? I need your help. I need you to be here with me. But what can I learn from this? Right? What is the reason? We can stay where we are, and certainly we have a right to be able to have to blame God. We can speak and blame God. God is big enough. But whatever we want, cry out to God, blame God, get accepted with God, love God. God is big enough. God is not spiteful. God will take it all in, you know. So there are oftentimes this happens. So we see, here's the unique part of the story. We see the devil in the wilderness, Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He hasn't eaten anything at all. The guy given up chocolate. He just hasn't been eating the food. And then, guess who shows up? The devil. And what was the devil going to do? He's going to try to test him when he's most vulnerable. He's most vulnerable because he's hungry. We're talking Jesus, Son of Man, right? In flesh. And so we see him coming first, and he's going to offer, here's the plot, he's going to offer Jesus stuff. Right? Do you think the devil's not going to offer us stuff? Be aware that you're in Lent. If you decide to do something good, forget food. They get off the food thing now, but just think about it more, those of us who are giving us something. But that's definitely the same, we're not going to be cussing. We're not going to be, you know, cussing. You don't need to make sure the word is in the word of the church. But we're not going to be saying anything bad about anyone. Guess what?
with the lights, and he was there for a couple of us trying to fix it, something, it didn't go right. And I've been waiting to sit at my desk, and then I saw one and he said, Pastor, something is not right with the light, and can't get the balance or something. So I said to John, the minister, I said, it's only 2 hours you're up on the desk, 2 hours and you couldn't figure out. Right? You couldn't figure out the balance. Now, I love Ron. Ron will do anything for me. I said, you mean you moved everything off my desk for 2 hours? And now it's like that, and I said, what's going on? Ron was surprised because I called him the next morning. I remember staying with me because he has to go to work. And I called Ron and I said, Ron, I'm sorry. I said, my God is the first day of Lent. I say, I'm wrong. Ron said, Pastor, I know all the words. I said, no, let me apologize. Let me begin now because I have to confess. I said, Ron, I am sorry. I should have, I know you were here for 2 hours and you're driving me nuts about the size I said, I should not say that to you, Ron. Should not have raised my voice to you. I am sorry. I said, the cannot start Lent off this way. Did that wrong?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Ron said, okay, Pastor, I know you know. I said, yes, sir. I said, it will not happen again, at least for the next 40 days.
You hope.
39. So I'm trying to be mindful of that, right? Do you see? Because in a minute, you know, the thing that you don't want to do. So Ron, he laughed. He said, hey, Pastor, I said, no, but I have to stay on strong. Because I'm working hard to relent, not to get flustered and, you know, and to do things. So Jesus, so we know what happens when we're going through, when we're trying to do what is right to Jesus. But Jesus said, here's the key, and Jesus said, he said he was being tempted by the enemy. I'm opening all these things. The first time he opened him, the temptation, Jesus said to him, he said, Jesus, the scripture says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness before the days to be tempted. What is this? He hadn't eaten anything. I told you that already. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, this stone, command the stone to become a loaf of bread. Right? You're a hungry person. You're so hungry, you're the Son of God. Right? And what did Jesus say? He said, it is written. Right? That means Jesus to worship him. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to worship him. That's what addiction is about. Folks sometimes don't know what's happening. But when they get addicted and then they need it and then they need it, because the devil wants... You see, the devil is not coming after who he already has. He's always going to try to come after us who's trying to serve the Lord. Because once he gets you, he just tries to keep you there. But for those of us who are trying to do better, he's one he's always trying to come after. You know that. Put all kind of temptation before us. And then the devil says, it is written. He goes and he's telling God this. And it is written, Jesus answered him, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Nobody else. Nothing else we should serve. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him alive in the temple of the devil. And he said, jump off. Just jump off. Because you know the scriptures the devil is saying here. He said to him, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on your hands they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against the stone. That is from Psalm 91. So the devil is now quoting Psalm 91 to Jesus. Right? Together. Psalm 91. And then Jesus answered, it is written. He answered, do not put the Lord your God to a test. And when the devil was finished, the Bible said he left him for an opportune time. What does that mean? He's coming back. Right? But we know that Jesus' crucifixion is going to show up. He's coming back for an opportune time. The devil is always trying to come back to get us. So friends, during this 40-day season of 39 or we're up to 38, we have to be mindful now, right? That as we seek to draw near to God, as we seek to be in closer relationship with God, we are going to be tested more. When we seek to do good stuff, to do the right stuff, the challenge is going to be greater. Right, friends? And so, as I get to Romans to bring us home, the word is near you. We need that word is in our hearts. The word is in the Bible. But when we begin to read it and seek it, it becomes in our heart. And I want to give you, start with just a little story right here. Our bishop, we all know what's happening in our church. And everybody's overwhelmed. And I was in a budget meeting yesterday with a bunch of us, and we kind of were there. And sometimes God will put you through stuff and put a denomination through stuff for us to learn. We know that our church is losing a lot of people. This is a long time ago. It has nothing to do with what just happened. But our bishop said some things yesterday that many of us who are pastors, we know. He said to him that he was talking and going on about things. The church is not growing in our denomination, growing in leaps and bounds of the Korean churches, the Caribbean churches, and the Ghanaian churches. They are growing because they are very deliberate about preaching Jesus. He said many of our churches, the churches who have, we have yoga programs, we have our people have yoga program, we have knitting, whatever program we need, exercise program, we offer these mission things, but we are not preaching Jesus. None of those things changes the line. It is good to have programs. This is our bishop now. We are talking about somebody out here because he has come to the realization. We have had churches who have had super liberal and they only have programs and some that are not preaching Jesus. We don't talk about Jesus. We don't tell people that Jesus is the hope of the world. People are coming for something different. The church is not a social club. We do things, yes, but we come to hear that Jesus saves, that Jesus can turn your life. And he's appealing to both sides. Whatever side of the issue, he says, make disciples, preach Jesus. Do not spend all your time and your hours on these issues, because our church will continue to die. You can find an argue and go on Facebook and look one and more fighting. You can go wherever. Unless we're preaching Jesus, we'll never see a change. Preach Jesus and crucify. And so Paul reminds us the word is near us. And here's what Paul says here. It amazed many of us carrying this that you can hear pins off in the room. And for those of us who preach Jesus all the time, you know, I was in my little corner saying, amen! It was early in the head here, amen! Because I'm going to preach Jesus till he takes me home. I'll preach Jesus before the bishop, before the president, before kings and queens. I'm going to preach Jesus because he's hope of the world. Nothing else can save us. And so Paul tells us in Romans that I want to close with this. So there is the bishop in agreement with open meeting for those of us who preach Jesus. I have never told anybody that I could change your life. But I have said, and you're the one who can change your life. Because I've met him, and he changed my life. I wasn't perfect. I'm a work in process. Right? You know I'm a work in process, that's why I confess it to you all the time. Jesus, and so Paul says, he says here, what is salvation? Salvation is given to us. The word salvation in theology says deliverance from sin and its consequences. Believed by Christian to be brought about by faith in Christ. That is salvation. We don't want to talk about sin anymore. There is sin in the world. When did sin leave the Bible? When did sin leave the dictionary? You think that are wrong that is sinful. Whatever you want to say, I know the list. We all know where the list is. I didn't make the list. Right? The list, some of the things that are on the list, that's not your life. But so what? It's still on the list. I tell you about not asking for my opinion. It's not a good thing about the poor, your opinion. Right? It doesn't say more than opinion. It says, this is what it is, like it or not. Right? And so we don't have to beat up people with sin, but we have got to let them understand that it's about Jesus Christ. Jesus has the power to save us from sin. And so Paul tells us, he said, that short scripture, but if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, salvation is easy, because the whole world was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. Heaven became a free gift, not an easy gift, because it took Jesus' life. But it became free for you and me. And number one, we must do, friends, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We first have to believe by faith that Jesus is Lord. That he's Lord. Number one, we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Then we have to believe. So first we confess. He says, yes, Lord, I know. Lord Jesus, I know that you're Lord. I know that you came in the world to bring salvation. I'm confessing. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And believe in your heart. It's a faith journey. We have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Do you believe this morning, church? Church, it's not about debating it here. Please don't spend the rest of your life debating it. If you haven't believed it, this is not a seminary. We're not doing theological debate here. We, you know, are men of mutual call seminary, because if anything I'm going to believe in God, they're dying in spirit. But I'm going to use in theological experience to say, you're going to that seminary. I didn't understand. But they used to say, we go to seminary, we come in knowing Jesus in the seminary. Those of us who came out of very traditional churches, and when we get to seminary, it is so different, especially a seminary like mine, that I came out of, and when we were talking about the Bible, and I'm thinking, into following Jesus, thanks be to God for that.
Amen.
So if you don't find Jesus in seminary, if you don't go in knowing Jesus, most likely you're not out of Jesus when you come out. You gotta go in there knowing Jesus. So my first 6 months in seminary was the most difficult. I almost quit uni theological. Then a professor said to me, "The Lord wants you here," because I said, "If you don't know God."
Amen.